Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
7:14, quickly to Dr. David Elias, an orthopedic surgeon with Ortho LA. Morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning. Fine.
Tell me about hamstring injuries in general. First of all, the hamstring is one muscle or a group of muscles?
It's a group of muscles in the back of your thigh, basically running from your butt down to your knee.
Okay. What is a pulled muscle as opposed to a torn muscle?
Well, everything probably means the same thing. When you hear pull, sprain, or tore, or mm-hmm. a tear, all of that means the same thing. The hamstring muscle can, let's just call it a tear, and or a sprain. First of all, we usually grade them either mild, moderate, or severe. So they also can tear from different spots. They can tear from the bone, either from the attachment at the knee or the butt bone. Mm-hmm. Most hamstring tears happen in the mid part of the back of the thigh, so it kind of tears where the muscle attaches to the tendon. But I mean, like any other injury, they're different degrees, but they can be a tough injury to recover from.
So what happens with the muscle that causes it to tear? It gets overstretched or what? Doctor gets in a position that it shouldn't be?
I think it's usually it happens from a sudden contraction. You know, as you use the muscles, they lengthen and contract. And the sudden force from when you go from a lengthened muscle to a contracted muscle, mm-hmm. sometimes that can cause the rupture of the muscle fibers. And it can happen, you know, you usually see it with people doing a sudden burst, whether they're running fast or stopping and making a cut. But that's typically how you injure the hamstring. It also can happen with a weird twist or turn or sudden twist or turn.
To be clear, the doctor has not looked at, I don't think you've seen Jordan Tyson, have you?
I have not.
No, so we're not talking about him. We're just talking about hamstring injuries in general. Why are these so problematic, doctor?
Well, they're just one of those injuries that can linger for a while. They're not a career-ending injury. Typically, probably 90% of them don't require surgery. But it's just one of those injuries you can take 4 weeks off, you can recover, rest, go to therapy, stretch, do all the treatment for it, and you can come back and feel great. And a week later, it can re-tear. So you kind of take one step forward, two back. And so it can be one of those lingering injuries. And again, that depends on the degree of the tear. It depends on where the muscle fibers tear, what part of the leg.
Is there a difference between a pull and a tear or not?
There's not.
Okay. So when you say pulled muscle, you actually tore it.
Anytime you pull or sprain your muscle, you're tearing muscle fibers.
I gotcha. Again, the reason these tend to reoccur more than other pulled muscles, or do they? Or is it just that hamstrings get our attention?
I think once they heal and the athlete has enough time to let it heal, in other words, they're not trying to return back to their sport too quick, then I think they can finally recover from it. But I think what you see in athletes a lot is, you know, we recover them, we get them back, and, you know, we think they're ready, and then they can tear it again. And so then they just, one of those linger. Now the second time they tear it may not be as severe as the first time, so they may only miss 2 weeks the second time, but then they come back, and then, you know, they're at risk of doing it again. So I call it one of those season-long nagging injuries. Mm-hmm.
Being an idiot layman as I am, I would think, well, why don't we just surgically repair this and then make it strong, put like a patch on a tire or something like that, where we surgically reattach it and then put some extra strength, whatever you call it, sutures in there, something like that, but it doesn't work that way?
Not really. If you tear it from the bone, then typically you have to go reattach it with an anchor, but that's a long recovery. That's about a 4-month recovery, because you got to let the tendon heal back to the bone. We do things like, you know, we can do some things to speed up the healing, like PRP injections. I think that's very common in athletes. Most collegiate and professional athletes who get like a hamstring or a quad sprain, we will a lot of times inject, it's called PRP, platelet-rich plasma, and that's just your own blood. You spin it down, you get all the good growth factors, and you inject it at the site of injury, and that can help the athlete feel better, but also, you know, theoretically you're putting fertilizer at the injury site, hoping to help it heal.
These are professional athletes at the top of the game. Are they more prone to something like this than the average Joe?
Not really. I mean, I do think certain people, certain body types are more prone to hamstring injuries, but sometimes it can just be unlucky. It can happen to anyone. You know, they do. I'm sure most professional athletes are doing the proper stretching before and after to help try to prevent it. Also, you know, having good nutrition, having good hydration, all of that helps prevent these injuries too.
Doc, when it comes to body types, are there certain people that can you, as a physician, I'm not talking about Jordan Tyson here, but in general, look at a guy or a woman and say, yeah, that's predisposed to this or predisposed to that because of the body type or the alignment of the hips or the thighs or what have you, anything like that?
Not really. There's not a classification for putting people into a category where they're more prone to tearing their hamstring. But, you know, a lot of times on your pre-season physical exams, you're testing the range of motion of the hip and the knee, and, you know, we'll notice, man, you got tight hamstrings. And so you want.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
I wonder if people who just naturally have tighter muscles are more prone to these injuries. I think there's probably some truth to that.
Why is that? Why are some people just like, you know, I call it muscles of steel, where they don't work out and they just got these muscles that are, you know, I got in an arm wrestling contest with somebody, my arm was sore for a year, and the guy never lifted a weight in his life, but just had these steel muscles. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, they're different muscle fibers, and not everybody's body is made up of the same composite of muscle fibers. And then, you may have somebody who has an underlying back problem, and that can give you tight hamstrings and maybe predispose you to having a hamstring sprain because of the way of the because of the problem with the back, it's making you change your mechanics of your lumbar spine, and that can cause some tight hamstrings too.
So the way your spine is shaped can cause some problems with that?
Or if you have a underlying spine issue, whether it be a herniated disc or a little arthritic segment, or you could have, you know, scoliosis, things like that.
We were talking to Mike Dottiglia yesterday, and he talked about the need to get to the underlying cause of soft tissue injuries. That's what we're talking about here?
There are definite, maybe in different parts of the body, where you can blame it on a cause, but a lot of these injuries are just, you know, they're eccentric contractions that just happen kind of very unlucky.
What does that mean, eccentric?
eccentric is the part where I was telling you when the muscle is lengthening and then all of a sudden you go make a cut and you're contracting the muscle too fast, and that transition from going to a long to a short muscle contraction is usually when you'll see these tears, whether it be your calf muscle, your Achilles, your quad, your hamstring. It's all the same mechanism.
And this has nothing to do with Jordan Tyson, but in general, once you do tear this hamstring, and again, pull, tear, the same thing, it depends on degree, for those just tuning in, are you more prone to this for the rest of your life?
Not necessarily. I think that once you finally give your body the time to recover, and as long as you're doing all your stretching after, I don't think it means that you're going to have this your whole career. I think what we see a lot of times is people will deal with this injury, you know, for a whole season, no matter the sport. And that's probably because, you know, we're recovering them. They're doing good. We're trying to get them back. And the muscle's just not ready to come back. So I think you do see a season nagging injury, but not necessarily a career nagging injury.
And I know we have to go, but how do you rehab that without re-tearing it?
So, I mean, the first thing you do is just rest. So let the muscle fibers calm down. And then once you start to get healing, then you get into therapy, and they can utilize techniques such as stretching and scraping, and they can do dry needling. Mm-hmm. So really you treat this with physical therapy. And again, most people get PRP injections too.
Is it one step forward, two steps back if you come back too early?
It can be. Mm-hmm. That is the problem.
Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it. I appreciate your time as always. Dr. David Elias, orthopedic surgeon with Ortho LA. We'll talk to Steve Geller next half hour, WWL sports director. Disappointing news about Jordan Tyson, the Saints' number one draft choice. And a lot of people, when they drafted him, thought, you know, you might be getting an inferior product here. Not about his ability, but just in terms of being injured. 7:25 traffic now, WWL. All right, 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our good friend Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing all right, Tommy. Staying cool inside.
Yeah, amen. I hear that. Tell me about what was the feeling among the media there when Jordan Tyson pulled up with the hamstring?
Man, you know, it was during that joint session on Thursday against the Jaguars. You saw him running up the sideline after a catch and then get pushed out of bounds. And he lands awkwardly, ends up tripping, lands awkwardly, and just stayed face down on the sideline there. And you just knew and felt that something was pretty seriously wrong with him. And now we find out this hamstring issue is going to, you know, carry 2 months at least for him. And you're going to wonder, how does this affect his timing now, his, you know, total assimilation into this offense? Just trying to build that chemistry with the quarterback. So many concerns now with a guy you invested obviously heavily in with the eighth overall selection. And then, I mean, you knew going into the draft and selecting him, all the injury history that this just turned 22 years old on August 12th, I think it was. He's been through throughout his career, from knees and collarbones, ankles, and the hamstring issue.
All right, so as they say in the movie North Dallas 40, can't worry about that now, Poot. Let's talk about who we can deal with. Tell me who steps up now. A preseason game, who got your attention with the receiver position, and what is it looking like for the first couple of months of the season?
Yeah, obviously I think Chris Olave's target load ends up getting even greater now with Jordan Tyson down. You still have Devon Vele in the mix as well. And I would think even tight end Juwan Johnson, you're going to see an uptick in targets for him while Tyson is on the mend. But yeah, with the younger wide receivers that this team has, thankfully they did draft two other rookies in this year's draft class, and Bryce Lance and Barrion Brown, who we've been seeing a lot of good things from at camp. And Brown, you know, showed out as well in the preseason game against the Jaguars. Lance was kind of held out. He was dressed, but they didn't put him into the game because he was nicked up, as coach said, so they were kind of holding him back I'm expecting to see or hear, I guess you could say, hear about him today at the joint workout with the Dallas Cowboys. And then some other receivers on this roster, you know, Trey Palmer, Bub Means, Ronnie Bell, Kevin Austin Jr., curious to see now if they can step up even more. Bub Means is a guy that has been around. This is year three for him. More of a big target kind of guy, not the same athlete that Jordan Tyson was. And just he's been building that rapport with the second team offense. We'll see if he can maybe, you know, crack his way into that first team. But right now, I would definitely think going into the season, you're going to be looking at more of a Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson heavy targets with Tyson down for a couple of games.
I'm thinking about doing my hair like Bub Means did. What do you think?
That'll work.
Yeah, I think it will too. Tell me about a running back and what got your attention. That it's hard to tell because none of the starters were there, but among the backups, who got your attention at running back on Saturday?
Man, I think everybody loves what we see from Audric Estime, just hoping that his ankle issue isn't too serious and that he's back on the field, because, man, you saw the vision for him, that running with intention, just that 9-yard scamper to get that touchdown. I think he broke like 3 or 4 tackles to get into the end zone. And with question marks still with Kendra Miller and Devin Neal, there's definitely a spot right now where I would have him as the third running back on this team if his ankle issue isn't going to keep him sidelined for a while. You have C.J. Donaldson, the rookie, who, man, oh, man, he had a tough go, the undrafted rookie out of Ohio State. But you look at the power that he can provide you. I thought he could be a short yardage guy for you, but it just seemed like the defense of the Jags knew what was coming there. And I don't know. It's a curious, you know, do they end up looking at more in that the running back free agent market, which isn't very good at all right now.
Did Estime bulk up on the offseason or not?
I think everybody, you know, comes back looking a little more thick and swole because of the, you know, nowadays these guys are doing so much workouts on their own. It's not something that I overly, you know, was like aware of though, with him coming into this season. I just know that he's obviously trying to carve out that spot and looking to be that number three guy. And then obviously Ty Chandler's another running back I didn't mention. We saw him used also in the special teams, open the game with that big kick return for the Saints. And I don't know, I thought the Saints would run the ball more against the Jaguars, but I guess the success that they were having with, you know, Wilson at quarterback, they kept throwing the rock. And that's what worked out for him, because everybody's buzzing about him right now.
That's what I hate about preseason, because you don't know what they're trying to do, what yeah. we're trying to do. 7:51, quick break, and then more with Steve Geller when we come back. Traffic now. 7:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWO, back with WWO Sports Director Steve Geller talking about the Saints. Steve, what are we going to do about that kicker position?
I'm sorry, what was that, Tommy?
What are we going to do about that kicker position?
Man, looks like right now that, you know, Charlie Smith is just having a tough go, and you would think that Tanner's got the lead right now in this competition from what we've seen. But I mean, Tanner Brown doesn't have any NFL experience. We know he's been in the UFL. Curious to see if once some trim downs among some other rosters are being made with these other kickers, because everybody's got two right now in camp, if they end up looking somewhere else. But then the problem is, you know, that's not really a big turnaround going into the regular season with somebody that hasn't been in your system. I don't know. You know, the kickers, it's a funny thing with something you gets into your head, and Charlie Smith has just been having this rough go, especially, man, you just looked at that extra point in the game, and it had you concerned right off the bat.
That was like a professional bowler throwing it in the gutter, and then it comes out, and it for whatever reason hops out and knocks the pins over, and it's just at that level you would wonder, well, wait a minute now, if he's capable of that at this level, what does that portend for the season? And I got no confidence in Charlie Smith. I hate to say that. I like him a lot. I think he seems like a nice guy, But when I see that extra point and God Almighty, I don't know what you do. I don't know who's out there, who's available or not. And again, you know, it's like the big leg is good, just like availability. It's like, well, if you can't get it between the uprights, you're not going to really do me any good, you know. So I don't know what they're going to do there. Tell me about the defense. What impressed you about the defense after the game on Saturday?
Man, that first half was definitely exciting to see. You know, that continues to carry over. Gotta love what everything has been putting together between the pass rush, the takeaways. Really curious to see more of a guy in linebacker, Jalen Ford, who seems to be coming into his own year two with his Brandon Staley scheme, was able to get that pick, and just love the speed you see from him on the field. Another guy that you're hoping can stay healthy, a fifth-round pick that this team had in 2024 that continues to try and prove himself. But overall, a lot of good things, and someone too, and Martin Emerson Jr., who has been really, I feel like, rising up the depth chart, because he kind of was slow going early on, coming back from injury. But after a rough outing from Isaac Yiadom, I feel like Emerson is definitely your number three corner right now.
Are they going to come back just to play Dallas and then go back to California? Do they come back to New Orleans, or do you know?
Yeah, they're going to come back to New Orleans, then go to Dallas to play the Cowboys, and then come back here. So the black and gold will have some training camp sessions, like the one at Tulane at night will be coming up.
So when do the joint practices with L.A. happen?
That'll be on Thursday.
Oh, I got you. All right. Thank you, Steve Geller, WWO Sports Director.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.